from our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. This is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
5 o'clock this afternoon on Channel 6.
Good afternoon. I'm Ken Wu, along with Kirk Matthews in the Channel 6 newsroom. Here's what's happening. Mount St. Helens has erupted. It is a major eruption. We do not know for sure if any lava has come out of the mountain at this point. We do know scores of people are missing. Five people are known dead in the wake of the most violent volcanic eruption yet on the mountain. The mountain erupted again at 8:39 this morning.
40 years ago, on May 18, 1980, the major eruption of Mount St. Helens occurred. The event is well known for its destructive debris flow that flattened the areas north of the mountain and killed 57 people. Explosive ash plumes continued to erupt for 9 hours and created a tower reaching 16 miles into the atmosphere. It remains the most deadly and destructive volcano event in U.S. history. In this podcast, we'll recount the notorious eruption of Mount St. Helens and speak with a couple local scientists about the chance that we see an eruption of that magnitude again in our lifetimes. Up first, Seth Morin is a seismologist and the scientist in charge at the Cascades Volcano Observatory located in Southwest Washington. His team maintains a close watch over volcanoes across the Pacific Northwest and conducts research into volcanic activity. Here he describes a little more about what makes Mount St. Helens so special.
So Mount St. Helens, it's a stratovolcano that's located in the Cascade Range, which extends from Canada down to Northern California. Of all those volcanoes in the Cascades, Mount St. Helens, over the last 4,000 years, has been by far the most frequently active volcano, most frequently erupting about once a century. And it's also produced the widest variety of types of eruptions. It's done what it did in 1980, the big explosion, the big blow. And then in subsequent years, it had much more low-key dome-building type eruptions as it kind of started to rebuild itself. But then it's also done really weird things, like 2,000 years ago there was an eruption that a lot of people could be forgiven for mistaking for something that would happen in Hawaii. It produced a lava tube, which is known as the Ape Cave right now. People can go into the Ape Caves every summer. St. Helens is one of the few Cascade volcanoes that's had that wide variety. So it's a pretty fascinating place to study scientifically.
So Mount St. Helens is the most active volcano in the Cascade Range. What exactly are scientists doing to track volcanic activity around the area?
So with Mount St. Helens, we've got a really good monitoring network there. We're able to see these fairly subtle signs that there's one of the things we see is with GPS receivers that are out there, they're just anchored into the ground in cement posts, and all they're doing is figuring out their location at this one place over and over and over and over again. And so that's enabling us to see deformation that's happened, surface deformation where the ground has moved on the order of that much on my finger over the space of 6 years. And stations have moved away from the volcano that much. So other volcanoes were not quite as good shape in terms of monitoring. And if that kind of thing were happening, we would be less able to detect it.
So scientists are out there tracking the tiniest disturbances or movements underground. But how much notice would we have before an actual eruption? Seth mentions how there are other methods being used to track or predict volcano activity. Looking at the larger picture or eruptions on a timescale can give some cues to predicting volcano activity.
The geologic record is really the best guide for what's going to happen in the future. And Mount St. Helens has been fairly regular over the last 4,000 years about erupting a fair amount. Mount Hood, on the other hand, has been a lot spottier. It had an eruption in 1781 that lasted for about a decade. Before that, it was about 1,500 years ago. Before that, you have to go a long ways back to the last eruption, almost 10,000 years. The eruption record doesn't support Mount Hood being something that would be as likely to erupt as Mount St. Helens. But the truth is that we think that any of the volcanoes in the Cascades that we're paying attention to right now has the potential to erupt. And that's part of our job, is to be ready for any of them to erupt. And by being ready, we need to have monitoring instruments out there and also be working with communities to make sure they know what the hazard is and who we are and what kind of might happen when their volcano does wake up.
Mount St. Helens is currently active and even shows signs of restlessness and movement over the last decade. What made the 1980 eruption so big, and can we expect another eruption of that magnitude in our lifetime?
Well, an eruption like 1980 is not that likely in our lifetime. And part of the reason for that is that the reason why that eruption was so large is that over the months leading up to May 18, there was pressurized magma that had intruded into the volcano. And it was not erupting, really. There were explosions and things like that, but the magma hadn't really come out until there was the catastrophic landslide. And that instantaneously removed all the pressure that had been holding in the magma that had been that had intruded into the volcano, and let it go in just this one, actually a series of ginormous explosions. If that landslide hadn't happened, the magma, some of it would certainly have erupted, but it probably wouldn't have been nearly as large. And so it was really the landslide that made the initial events of May 18 so catastrophic. And now there's not as much volcano to fall apart. And so the likelihood of having something that gets so pressurized and go off is certainly reduced. So from that perspective, anyway, I'd say that another May 18 is not likely in our lifetimes, or at least until the volcano is rebuilt. But that being said, Mount St. Helens is the most frequently active volcano in the Cascades. It does eruptions at least once every 100 years. We've seen very, very, very subtle signs over the last, since 2008, when it stopped erupting in 2008, that there is probably some magma coming in, small amounts at relatively deep levels. And that's something that we believe is a sign that it's building towards the next eruption, which is probably, you know, years, decades, or further down the road. So in terms of it erupting again in our lifetimes, that's, you know, not out of the picture.
The landslide causing the onslaught of destruction in 1980 was ultimately triggered by a 5.1 magnitude earthquake. Are all volcanic eruptions triggered by earthquakes? And should we be worried about future earthquakes around the Pacific Northwest?
So that's a question that we get asked a lot. And it's something that scientists have looked into around the world, because there are anecdotal reports of a large earthquake happening, and then a couple days later, a volcano erupts. And when you look at the global record and look at a large earthquake, you go outside away from that earthquake a couple hundred miles, look at all the volcanoes in that area. And what scientists have found is that at least in the week following the large earthquake, there's no statistically significant increase in activity at those volcanoes relative to the week before. So at least from that vantage point, it looks like that's not something that we really need to concern ourselves with. And just from an intuitive perspective, if there's no magma that's inside, you know, close to the surface, there's not a lot of shaking that's going to change that fact in a short amount of time. And really the situations where volcanoes seemingly have been triggered by large local earthquakes, it's been situations where magma's probably been pretty close already, and it was just a really small, you know, straw that broke the camel's back. But, you know, a volcano like Mount Rainier, which hasn't erupted in 1,000 years, and there's not really any sign that there's anything even close to the surface up there, that's not what we're going to be expecting to have happen immediately following the next magnitude 9.
The Cascade Mountain Range is a signature of the Pacific Northwest region. It's home to a number of snow-capped peaks, and on a clear day in Portland, you can often see more than a few at once. But are all of our tall mountains volcanoes? And should we be considering other volcanic threats aside from Mount St. Helens or Mount Hood?
Volcanoes kind of do these things on their own timescales, and there could be other volcanoes besides Mount Hood or Mount St. Helens. There's lots of names of mountains out there, and whether or not a mountain is a volcano or not is something that requires geologic work to establish, has anything come out of the ground there. But of the volcanoes that are named, most are volcanoes that we would consider to be potentially still active, particularly in Washington. There's a few exceptions to that. Something called Goat Rocks is... it's a Goat Rocks wilderness. It's in between Mount Rainier and Mount Adams. And it's the dissected remains of an old volcano that last erupted hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. And we think that one's dead. And also down in Central Oregon, there are lots of cinder cones, like Black Butte would be a cinder cone, which, and also Mount Bachelor, which geologists believe are so-called one and done. They erupt once for years, decades, maybe a century or so, build up a cinder cone, and then that's it. They'll never erupt again. And so Bachelor, Black Butte, those places we wouldn't say are likely. But that area, this volcanic field that has cinder cones, that's still alive, and there could be something that pops up down the road in one of those.
With a number of volcanic areas in Oregon, how would our region react if there were signs a mountain would erupt? Here we talk with Dr. Scott Burns, a local geologist and professor at Portland State University, about the impacts of an eruption in our neighborhood.
Remember, all volcanoes are not equal. And so in the Cascades, we know the violent ones. And so if this occurred at Glacier Peak or if it occurred at Crater Lake or Mount Lassen, boy, we would not allow anybody in the area because you just don't know what's going to happen. If it was Mount Rainier, Mount Baker, Mount Hood, we wouldn't allow people onto the mountain, but we wouldn't restrict them from being, 30 miles away watching and stuff like that because all of its eruptions in the past have not been those violent types. So we now categorize all the volcanoes. We know what type of eruptions they're going to be having. We don't know where they're going, what direction they're going to go. But Mount Hood, for instance, we know it is going to be primarily on the mountains, but we are going to evacuate every one of the major rivers on the side because you're going to get huge debris flows. And so the Sandy River, all those gorgeous houses up there are going to be evacuated, and they are because of the potential coming down. And then also Hood River, the Hood River Valley, all that is going to be evacuated too. Why? Because they are on, if the people on the Sandy River are on the 1780 eruption, the Old Main Flats eruption of Mount Hood. And so it could happen again.
So what have we learned from the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens? Well, we've got the Cascades Volcano Observatory. It was put in place to track volcanoes in our region, and their team of scientists have installed a detailed volcano monitoring system to observe even the smallest disturbances and earthquakes underground that could trigger activity. We also learned that not all of our tall peaks are likely to erupt. Mount St. Helens, however, remains the most active volcano in the Cascade Range and continues to show signs of restlessness. It could very well erupt again in our lifetime, maybe years or decades down the road. But to have an eruption the size of that of 1980 would take the same situation of pressurized magma building up below the surface, and scientists just don't see those conditions currently out there. And after 40 years, signs of regrowth are apparent.
If you go to the blast zone overlook, there's no sign of the blast zone. It's been completely overgrown. You would have no idea that 40 years ago, all the trees have been cleared out from that point onwards. So it's really a sign that nature is coming back in a pretty big way throughout much of the blast zone area. And certainly as you get closer to the volcano, the regrowth hasn't happened as fast. And there are still, especially once you get to a radius of about 4 or 5 miles away from the volcano on the north side, it's still pretty obvious what happened. But it's actually becoming a little bit hard to lead tours out there because now you drive up the road and you used to be able to say, look out the side of the bus and you can see the landslide, the toe of the landslide, but now the trees are there and it's hard to show it.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.